Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. My next guest has been a mainstay in films, television, and the theater. He received 6 Emmy nominations for his portrayal of Dr. Victor Ehrlich on the groundbreaking show St. Elsewhere. He is also known for recurring roles in Arrested Development and 6 Feet Under. Currently, he can be seen in the new series Your Family or Mine, which airs Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on TBS. It is a pleasure to say hello to Ed Begley Jr. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ed. How are you?
You know, with a name like that, you can't be that bad of a guy with a first name of Ed, can you?
That's the way I feel, pal.
Me too.
Two Eds are better than one.
There we go. All right. Your new show, Your Family or Mine, it is a downright cavalcade of stars. It's you, Richard Dreyfuss, Joe Beth Williams. Tell us a little about the show.
Well, it's a show that instead of just focusing on one family, the parents, you know, Richard Dreyfuss and Joe Beth Williams, the parents of the man in the show, Kyle, they go back and forth every episode between his household and mine. You know, I'm one of the parents, and Cynthia Stevenson is one of the other parents of the girl. So we go back and forth between each episode, and, you know, you marry not just your spouse, but you marry the whole family.
That's right.
You get to see everything that you get in a marriage, and back and forth. We're as different as night and day. Richard and Joe Beth are rather conservative, and we're kind of loosey-goosey. And it's pretty funny.
You know, it's such a great ensemble cast. What is it like to work in an environment such as that?
Well, it starts with Greg Malins. He's a wonderful writer, and he created a great script. It's a great situation that he created, and it's a show that we do before a live audience. You get that energy that you get from working with, instant response there. People are going to laugh or not laugh right away. Unfortunately, every week we got great laughs with the show. And it's like doing a little bit of theater. You get to do this play that's about 27 minutes long. You get to do that every week, and what fun that is.
And, you know, it's really unique because, as you mentioned, you're working in front of a live audience. It does mimic the stage so much, and what a difference that is from when you work on a film. And you know how that is. You're on a set all day on location. But when you feel that energy, that is a great way to be able to work.
It helps a lot because then you know what's landing and what's not. You know, sometimes a joke will land that you're sure is great, and sometimes it doesn't. You go, wow, what happened to that? And when you go, you didn't even know it was a joke. You get this big laugh. You go, well, I got to take a beat there. Who knew that was funny?
And, you know, I also think of you being involved in another great ensemble, those great Christopher Guest comedies, A Mighty Wind, Best in Show, for your consideration. Some amazing actors, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Harry Shearer. That is also quite an environment to work in. When you work with the same people, it's obviously a different project, and you're dealing with different characters and a different idea. It must be comfortable, though, to be able to work within that same framework with those same performers, because you understand each other so well.
It's so comfortable for that very reason. I've known Chris since the early 70s, and I've known Harry Shearer for as long, and so it's just wonderful to work with those folks again and again. I'm working with Chris in a week from right now on some PetSmart commercials.
Really?
Besides doing films and television, he does these wonderful commercials for the internet and for, you know, network and cable, and it's just great. I can't wait to work with him on anything. Whatever Chris is doing, I want to be part of it.
That is terrific. You know, I mentioned St. Elsewhere in the beginning. That show, along with another one that comes to mind from that same era, Hill Street Blues, you know, they kind of came at a time when TV began to grow up, for lack of a better term. All shows began to kind of have more texture and maybe a little more nuance. Am I wrong about that?
You're completely right about it, Ed. Look at shows now. Look at Breaking Bad. Look at House of Cards. Look at these kinds of shows that they have on now on television. This is, again, the golden age of television. I've never seen shows this good. Nurse Jackie just started the other night, and, you know, I've got so many shows that I love. I'm devoted, and I binge watch them. American Horror Story is great. Just quality television. Kevin Spacey on House of Cards, that's as good a show as you're going to see, and it's direct to Netflix.
And, which is amazing, because there are so many different venues now for all kinds of television, as we call it. You mentioned Nurse Jackie. I also watched that as well. And it's also an example of what, I guess, producers, directors, writers, they're willing to explore subject matter and things that at one time were taboo, but that are front and center in the national conversation. So TV is much more of a reflection of real life nowadays.
It is. Look at Jeffrey Tambor on Transparent. They're doing that on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'd be able to do that on network TV, but he's doing it there, and you're doing House of Cards, which you could never do on network TV. You know, they're doing that on Netflix. And so now, you know, besides HBO breaking ground, these other providers are really stepping forward and giving, you know, a platform, an outlet to some great creative work.
You know, your dad was an Oscar winner. Tell me how he inspired you, and how was it to watch someone as close to you as your dad practice his craft? What rubbed off on you?
You know, I think if my dad had been a plumber, I'd be fitting pipe now. I just wanted to do whatever he did, and he was an actor, so I wanted to do that. But I had no training yet. It's so funny, the son of an actor like Ed Begley, I had this attitude of like, you know, wake me when I'm famous. I want a series, man. I want to be on Gunsmoke or Perry Mason.
Right.
Get me a TV series, Dad. I had no idea that I had to train. And finally, when I listened to him and took some classes and trained, then I got a job. But I went out in interviews for years without a clue as to what I was doing. And I finally trained a bit and got work and then continued to train and finally got better at it. I kind of learned on the job. I was working and really didn't know entirely what I was doing for quite a while, but finally somewhat figured it out. And now here it is 48 years later. I'm still working with dear friends like Richard Dreyfuss. We worked together on Room 222 back in 1970.
Wow, I remember that show.
That was a fun show.
Yeah.
Jim Brooks was one of the head, I think he was the head writer on that show. And then Joe Beth Williams, we met in the 80s doing theater. And, you know, I have these friends for many years. We still get to work together. I'm so grateful.
You know, back to your father for a minute. He is in one of my favorite films of all time. If someone landed here from outer space and wanted to see one great American film, I would suggest they show him 12 Angry Men.
I agree. What a cast. Imagine assembling a cast like that today. I mean, some of the best character actors working then or ever. And that movie holds up today. You put it on a DVD or whatever, watch it on cable. It's just an extraordinary film. I'm so proud of my dad. He was a great, great actor and a great father.
And what really gets me about that film is we talked about theater. It in and of itself, 99% of it takes place in one room at one table.
Yeah.
So it's the actors that are driving the entire movie itself. And it does not have an empty spot. It does not have a dead spot. It is an amazing piece of American film. One thing I always admired about you is you live your convictions. Most people know you as a longtime, very passionate environmentalist. You live in a solar-powered home. You drive an electric car. Tell me how important those beliefs are to you, and tell me what you believe is the most urgent environmental issue facing the world right now.
Well, there's lots of big issues, but I've just been trying to do what I can since 1970. Back in 1970, when I started with the first Earth Day, the two big issues were air pollution and water pollution. And we still have those issues today, but mm-hmm. I didn't have to wait for a government study to see it was bad. We had horrible choking smog in L.A. In the 50s and 60s growing up there. And by 1970, I was done. You know, I wanted to do something to change it. So I signed up to Earth Day and did everything that I could. The same with water pollution. You could go down to Santa Monica Bay and see the horrible pollution there. So I knew that was real. And I knew there's problems in the water supply. The groundwater in the valley had become contaminated, you know, with a lot of solvents from over the years. So I knew it was real, and I started to do stuff. Today we have big problems like the five big gyres of plastic we have in the ocean. A lot of species are being lost every day, plant and animal species, because of, you know, different factors having to do with overconsumption and not being careful with the environment. Climate change is real, and it's something we're going to have to deal with. But what can people do? Are we powerless? No, we're not. The fact that some people say there's nothing we can do, that's as big a lie as the people who say there is no problem.
Right.
The truth is in the middle. If you do everything you can to conserve energy, I'm not going to say that we're going to solve every problem overnight. We can solve some of them in any near term at all. But I think we can make a change. If we all would do everything in our power, everything in our budget to conserve, we could save money. We could lessen our dependence on foreign oil. We could clean up the air in our cities, which are, you know, side benefits to combating climate change. If everybody who wanted one went out and had a home energy audit and really did all those things they could afford, changing your lighting, you know, weather stripping,
mm-hmm.
Attic insulation, whatever's in your budget, did everything that they could, their home or office, we could have a great reduction in energy use and then free up some more money to put up more wind turbines and solar panels. So with the price of $250 billion a year leaving the country in foreign oil, sometimes more. A few years ago, it was $350 billion. You know, that's a lot of money we can use here in the United States for for domestic energy read to mean, solar, wind,
right,
and geothermal.
Well, several very important and very cogent points, but we have a long way to go. Well, once again, Ed's new show, Your Family or Mine, can be seen Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on TBS. Ed Begley Jr., continued success, and thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thanks, Ed.
You know, no matter what you think of the guy in terms of his environmental views, he walks the walk and he talks the talk. He lives as he believes, and you can hear how passionate he is. He is just as passionate about his craft of acting as he is about the environment and the issues that we face as a people and as a nation and as a world. So he is, and he's very well educated on this, and overall just a pretty nice guy, and it was great having him on the show. Well, stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Times are tough. Do you wish they were better? Well, wishing is the first step, but it takes more to get the genie out of the lamp. Here's the science of it.
I want to ask you a question.
What do well-wishers know you don't know?
Do you know anything?
They use mental performance to their advantage. Instead of just wishing, they mentally visualize successfully achieving what they want. Based on learning theory, also known as habituation, mentally rehearsing the steps to get what you wish for is far more powerful than just thinking or wanting it.
You got your wish!
Also, beware, the reverse is true. If you continually see yourself failing, you'll get the failure before the success.
You idiot!
What's the cheap psychological trick? Be careful what you wish for. You'll get it when you dwell and activate the steps to make your wish come true. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
As a kid, he was labeled slow. His parents took him to a doctor because he was so old before he started talking.
When he finally did start, he had a strange quirk of saying what he was going to say under his breath before saying it in a normal tone.
He didn't do well in school. One teacher told him he'd never amount to anything and suggested he drop out.
He did get a college degree, but it took him 9 years to get a job in his chosen profession, teaching.
In spite of his deficiencies, Albert Einstein is considered a creative genius.
Time magazine named him the scientist of the century, in a century dominated by science.
Don't let your weaknesses hold you back. Develop your strengths for big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.